Well, I'll accept that old part anyway. Know about the prophet. The Lord's been talking to my heart this afternoon, and it'd have been just as well to let some of these young people go ahead, or whoever. I'm very much impressed with this meeting so far. Very much impressed what I've been hearing and what I've been seeing. For the young ministers the Lord's been using, very much impressed with that. I would just encourage you to keep hanging in there. You're not home yet. If the Lord tarries, he's coming. You got some of you got a long ways to go. And I desire your prayers this evening, Lord, to help us. I'm just thinking whether I should even try to get up with a stiff neck and a heavy heart, but we're not leaning on our own strength anyway. We'd have been defeated a long time ago. But we're depending on the Lord and have been for a long time. And I have a special burden. What I'm about to talk about tonight is not anything new at all. And it's not any new scriptures or simple, familiar scriptures, most of the scriptures that I have in mind to use. But it's a great need that I've been burdened for a number of years, for that matter. I believe it's the thing that is preserved and kept us down to this present time, that has kept the church what it is, and that has enabled people to do things beyond the ordinary, beyond the human. And this thing that we are enjoying tonight, this truth, this way, is something beyond the ordinary. It's supernatural. It's super. And it takes something beyond human power or human wisdom or human ability. It takes something beyond that to bring this, that have brought it down to this far, and that will carry it on to the rest of the way. And so tonight, for a long time, quite a few years, they have been something, I'll just say something, they've been a power that has worked in my life that has brought me this far. It has enabled me to overcome everything I've met in the last almost 40 years. And it was something beyond me. And I know Brother Bob was talking about remembering things, but I haven't forgot what a helpless creature that I was when I got saved. I haven't forgot that. They just don't make them much sorrier than that. I'll tell it on myself. With no ability to mount anything, with no very little resistance against anything, a slave, to the things of the world, to the habits and to the drinking and the smoking and the lying and the things that people do, a slave to that, didn't have no power to resist it. I didn't have no power to overcome it. I couldn't quit. I couldn't deliver myself. I couldn't get along very well. And so I haven't forgot what I was when I came to the Lord. A helpless, alcoholic, nicotine, not much. But I came to the Lord and sought the Lord of great trouble, and the Lord saved me. And the Lord saved me, and then later on he endued me with power of the Holy Ghost. And that is what has brought me this far. And that's what I'm depending on tonight. And so you and I and most of you, I look around here in the meeting a little more, look like a little more older folks who come in tonight maybe, but during the week it's mostly been relatively younger people here in the meeting. And when I talk about younger people, I'm talking about them in their 40s and things like that. I know y'all feel pretty old, but anyway, I see that. And I observe and it's hard for me to be in a meeting without feeling a burden for a message like this, because I see the great need of it. And you young folks and middle-aged folks, if the Lord tarries, he's coming. Some of you have got a long journey. I want to talk about a journey tonight. You're starting out on a long journey. Some of you, if the Lord tarries, he's coming. Some of you are going to be on this road for maybe 50, 60 years. That's a long time. And so you've started out on a journey, and you don't want to stop till you get to the end. But it can be a long journey. And I'm not going to try to cover it up here. Sometimes it gets rough. Used to sing an old song about life is like a mountain railroad. But I can tell you tonight, and it's not always easy. It ain't always easy. There's some real rough things along the way. And there's some real hard things that you're going to meet on this journey. And you're going to have all kinds of opposition. You're going to have all kinds of adversaries, and you're going to meet many, many things on this journey that you're going on. And you're not going to be able to make it by your own power and your own strength. You're not going to be able to make it. You're going to fail by the wayside, as millions have been. Millions have started out on this journey and never did finish it. I've known in my little short life, I have known of hundreds of people that started on this journey. And some of them run well for a little while and fell by the wayside and gone some other directions. Fell off. Fell by the wayside. We see as many of the saints' children that been to these altars down through the years. Many of them have fell by the wayside, gone far out into sin and far away from the journey that they started out on many years ago. I'm going to tell you tonight, it's going to take something beyond you or me or our ability, our wisdom, our power, our intellect. It's going to take something far beyond that for you and I to ever finish this journey. There's going to be some bumps, and there's going to be some hard places, and there's going to be disappointments, and there's going to be opposition, and you're going to face the devil on every hand, and you're going to meet lions along the road, You're going to meet bears and you're going to meet everything on this journey. And you're going to need something another to carry you on through that thing tonight. And so I want to bring out some scriptures tonight to show you what we're going to need this thing for. Old familiar scripture here in the 19th chapter of the book of 1 Kings, talking about here Elijah, and we know this story pretty well, but we'll refer to it anyway. But it said he slept and went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough, O Lord, take away my life." I told you meet some hard things. There are going to be some times that you just look like you can't go any further. Am I telling you right? Am I telling you right, Sister Opalay? She's shaking her head anyway. There are going to be some times when you feel like you won't be able to go any further. And there are going to be some times when you have no resistance in your own ability, in your own self. And this man here came to that place and he said, "I just can't take it anymore. I just can't take it anymore." Oh, how many times have I dealt with people that almost said the same thing? "I just can't stand it anymore. I just can't take it. It's just too hard. I'm not able to stand it anymore." And fall by the wayside. And so tonight, the Lord help us tonight. "Oh Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers," and so forth. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he took, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water on his head. And he did eat and drink and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came unto him a second time. I'm especially interested in this second time. It seemed like that he just got enough the first time that he just laid back down and went to sleep. And that ain't going to get the job done. That won't be enough. That won't be enough. You won't be able to make it that way. And he said here, and he came, the Lord, and the angel of the Lord came the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." The journey is too great for you. And he said here, and he rose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. So I was thinking, it said here that the journey is too great for thee. This is a great journey. It's a great, something great. It's something that you and I are starting out on. And the end, beyond the tomb we heard the other day, is heaven. That's where it's going to end at. If we stop anywhere between here and there, we've missed it. We've missed it. We've missed it. And so, starting out on this journey, we need to equip ourselves. We need to equip ourselves with what God has provided for us to enable us to make this journey and make a safe landing on the other side. I want to encourage you tonight. God has made available everything that you and I will need and provided everything that we might have need of to enable us to make a safe journey on the other side. Thank God he brought us this far. He brought us this far. And I'm expecting him to take us the rest of the way. Took him all the way to Horeb, which means the Mount of God. The Mount of God. That's where you and I are started tonight. Most of us, I feel like here tonight, is starting now to Horeb, to the Mount of God. To the ultimate goal is heaven, eternity, everlasting life, eternity with God. That's where we're headed tonight. That's where we're going. But I thought about this bread that he ate this second time. This must have been some kind of a special kind of food. I don't know. But anyway, it enabled him to go 40 days. That's quite a bit of going. That's pretty strong nutrients in that bread, I surely must have been. Some kind of a special bread. There was something about it was different. It was different. Something that the Lord prepared for him that would enable him to eat it and live 40 days upon that thing. Something special about that. I want to tell you tonight that God has something special for you and I too. God has some special bread, if you want to please. He has something that will enable you and I not just to only go 40 days, but he'll enable us to go all the way. All the way. Praise God tonight. And you and I, we need this bread. We need this special kind of bread that will keep you and I. If we don't get it, we'll starve to death. We'll starve to death. Many folks have dried up and starved to death. Starved to death because of not having the ingredients that God has provided, not availing themselves of the things that the Lord has provided for them to enable them to go on the strength, not on their own strength, not in their own ability, not in their own way, but giving them strength to go beyond the normal things. Not normal to eat bread in the last 40 days, is it? That's not a normal thing. You just don't do that. What do you? I don't know how long you could go without eating. But it was something special about that bread. It's something God provided. It's something the angel fixed up. And God provided it that he might go in that strength till he got to the Mount of Horeb. That he might get up there where God was. That's where we want to go, isn't it? We want to go where God is. That's my goal tonight. That's my ambition. That's my desire. That's why I'm here now. Endeavoring to go to Horeb. I never had that thought before. But the word means the Mount of God. And that's where I want to go. I want to go where God is. I want to go where Jesus is. I want to go where the saints have all gone to. That's where I want to land at. Don't want to stop anywhere between here and there till I get to the mount, to the very pinnacle of the thing. Till I step out of this world, leave this old earthly house, and step over into eternity in the bliss of God, in the bliss of heaven, to live with God in eternity. That's where we're headed, isn't it, tonight? We're going on a journey. We're going on a journey. And so tonight, we're going to need this second touch from God. We're going to need this second meal. We're going to need that second thing from God. God has prepared a meal for you, to his children, that they can eat and go on the strength of that all the rest of their life. It'll last to eternity. Bless God tonight. Do you believe it tonight? May the Lord help us to avail ourselves. So without this second meal, this second meal from God, we're going to find ourselves in trouble. We're going to find ourselves lacking in a lot of things. And we're not going to be able to make it. I've seen too many, as I've already said, I've seen too many people make a start. And then when God would call for that second blessing, they would draw back on it. They would draw back. I've preached their funerals that sat in meeting after meeting and died lost. I've preached their funerals that have went to the altars time and time again and died without having a hope of meeting God. And I've seen it happen. I've seen people that fail to go on and obtain this second blessing, this second meal, or whatever you want to call it tonight. You're going to have the power of the Holy Ghost working in your life tonight, or you're not going to make it. I can just, if you live very long anyway. And so tonight, I just like to help us to see what we must have. We must have. Brother Gibson preached the message 1958, and I was there. And he used this scripture in the 8th chapter of Mark. And he said, and he came, 22nd verse, and he came to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hand upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And after that, he put his hand again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everything clearly. Everything clearly. You and I are going to need a clear vision. We're going to have a clear vision. I'm going to tell you tonight, I've been on the way a while, I'm going to tell you that you're going to see things. Yes, you are. You're going to see things that you just can't hardly believe. You're just going to see some things along this journey that you just can't believe your own eyes. And you're going to see some things that will just tear you all down. You're going to see things that will distract you and interrupt you and will crush you. Amen. I don't want to make it sound hard. It is hard. But I want to provide something to help you do it with it. It's hard. Nobody said living for God a flowery bed of ease. Nobody's ever accomplished anything by riding a rowboat downstream. Nobody ever got anything like that. Anybody can ride a boat down the river. There ain't no problem with that. And anybody can drift. Anybody can go along with the crowd. Anybody can just join up with society and do whatever they're doing. There's no problem with that. But if you're going to go to make this journey all the way through, you're going to see some things that's going to stagger your imagination. You're going to see some things that will, if you don't have a clear vision. When I, Brother Gibson, preached that, and my heart was craving for something more than I had, I said, that was me. I was as blind as a bat, the old saying was. And God touched me. And I begin to see things different. Things to begin to look better. But it was so blurry. I had such a little sight. I had such a little vision. And something was overshadowing me. There was a darkness about it, seemed like. And then when I heard that message, I said, that's me. God touched my soul, and he saved my soul, and now I need another touch. So I'll be able to see things clearly. And I went for it, and I put in for it, and I made the consecration that was asked to be made. Preacher brought it out. I done what the preacher said, and it worked. And it worked. Oh, my eyes became open. God began to show me some things. He began to show me what it meant to trust God. He began to show me how God heals people. Seeing a miracle with my own eyes. Could that be? Yes, it is. Never been confused on it since that time. Never wondered about whether God heals or not.
My eyes was cleared up. I'm going to tell you, without this second blessing, things are going to look blear to you. You never will have a clear vision of the truth of God's way. You'll never be able to see what God wants you to see until you've had those scales off in your eyes. Isn't that what happened to Paul? Went down there and I prayed for him, wasn't it? Scales fell from his eyes. I believe Paul was saved, don't we preach that? He was saved on the road to Damascus. We preach that. But he had scales on his eyes. And I'm going to tell you that old carnality that's in the heart of every unsanctified person will blind your vision. It'll cause you to see things blurry. It'll keep you from seeing the real truth. God in his mercy. I didn't get mine from. We had a good Sunday school teacher, but I got most of my vision, most of my learning. I got it out at an old rock quarry under a little old oak tree. I can take you right to it now. That's where I got most of my light from on the truth. Was right there on that little old tree. And so, without this second touch, you're going to not see things right. And I'm going to say again, on this journey, Lord help me. I wish I could be a short-winded preacher like some of these fellows, but Lord help us. But anyway, I went ahead and you, without this scales, if you please, being taken away, we're going to see things blurry. We're going to be blurry. And you're not going to have a clear vision. And I'm going to say again, you're going to see things along this journey that if you don't have a clear vision, listen, if I did not have a clear vision of the church of God, of the truth, I would have been quit a long time ago. Religion is the most confused mess I ever saw. It is the most distracting. It is the most repulsive thing that I can think of. It just bothers me to see little old religion things splitting up people and nations and tearing down wars being fought and a little old group, two or three people get a hold of something and say, we're it. That's very repulsive to me. But I'm just going to acknowledge, I have a time with it sometimes. But thank God tonight, I've got a clear vision. Of all the things I've seen, it's never dimmed my vision one bit. The church that God showed me not long after I was sanctified is still just as clear to me there as it was then. And I've not seen anything yet that even compares no way to it. All the groups and all the movements that I've had to be with and deal with, and a lot of my ministry has been in new fields and working with people in other churches and things like that, but I've never seen anything yet that even comes close to the church of the living God. You're going to need, on this journey, a clear vision. And in order to get that clear vision, I remember old Brother McCoy, who was saved in sectism and out there. And he said, when he got light on this second blessing, this second work of grace in the heart, and he got filled with the Holy Spirit, he said the Bible became a new book to him. The Bible became a new book to him. You will never even be able to understand the many things in the Word of God until you've had those scales open your eyes. Till you've had that carnality purged out of your heart. And you've had those scales open your eyes. Things are going to look bleary. And you're going to see things that's going to cause you to stumble. And you're going to see things that'll just take the rug right off and under you. And the devil's going to say, what's the use? It ain't nothing but a bunch of confusion. Oh, I've had that. But bless God, I had a vision of something another. I had a clear vision of it. Seen God work miracles. Seen Him raise the dead. I saw Him heal broken bones and cancers and open blind eyes. I've seen Him. Can't convince me any different. God wants to open our eyes. But until you have these scales taken away, you're going to have a blurry vision of this truth. And I'm afraid before you get to the end of the journey, you're going to see something that will shipwreck you along the way somewhere or another. So may God bless us tonight. The Bible said, an old familiar scripture, it said in Acts 1 and 8, we all know that, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I'm going to tell you tonight, you're going to need some power on this journey. You're going to reap things that you can't handle. You're going to have some power in your beyond this supernatural power. You're going to have whatever ingredients was in that bread that lasted 40 days. You're going to have some power to resist the devil. I've run into things that would overwhelm me. I've been in places where I was almost gone. Almost overcome. But there was a power. One time, I think that's the only time I've ever really been really discouraged. But one time, I got really discouraged about something. Disappointment really more than me. But the disappointment kind of discouraged me. And I lost my resistance. And I came in and sat down in the back of the meeting house where I've never sat since I've been saved. I know somebody else said in the back, but anyway. But I lost my desire to read the Bible. I didn't care about going to church. I sure didn't have no song in my heart. And I lost my resistance. And the devil was closing in on. And I've seen myself fall. In my mind's eye, I can see dripping down. And I fell till I got within about 3 foot of the floor. Seemed like I was just going down. And when I got in about 3 foot of the floor, there was a power that helped me right there in midair and wouldn't let me hit the floor. I've always thought if I'd have hit the floor, I'd have quit. I'd have backslid. But there was a supernatural power that helped me right there and didn't let me hit the floor. And a few days, a brother came along and started to give me some encouragement, and the Lord began to work. And after a while, I felt myself going back up. Thank God I've been going up ever since. But it's a power. On this journey, you are going to must have. I'm not going to say you're going to need it. You must have the power of the Holy Ghost working in your life. You will never make this journey. I believe I can say that. Now, it may be a short journey. I'm not up here to say that if you die tonight, you won't go to heaven if you're saved. But I'm talking about a journey. I'm thinking about this journey as being a long journey. We had a message this morning that
time is short. Well, it may be. I'm looking for it. I know it's short for me.
But I'm thinking tonight of a long journey. And when I see the age of the people here tonight, and I say it again, that if God tarries his coming, some of you will be going to try, started out on a long, 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 long journey. And the nights get awful dark sometimes. And the powers are very depressing sometimes. The pain of rationing all night. The days of going days without food. The times that you can't feel like you can live any longer. Amen. I don't want this to discourage you. I wanted to cause you to put in for what I'm talking about. When you can't have no relief. When you are, if you'll excuse me, when your very body is burning like fire. When you're burning like fire. And you can't get no relief. And you can't get no straight sleep. You're going to need something extraordinary. You're going to have something. I mean, if you're going to stand for God. If you're going to make this journey all the way through. You're going to need some power in your life. Not just some kind of wild power. But power. To sustain, sustaining power, standing power, resistance power. It's going to take that kind of a power to enable you and I to finish this journey and wind up at the end with victory in our soul. Power to forgive my enemies. Yeah, I guarantee you'll have some enemies. You're not, everybody not going to treat you well all the time. You just well get ready for that if you're going to live for God. They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. If you live close to God and you live a sanctified life, you're going to get some persecutions. And it may come from your own household. And you're going to have some power in our lives. We're going to have some power to keep the right attitude. We're going to have some power to forgive those who trespassed against us. See, the normal people don't do that. Generally, normal people don't do that. It's not you either. It's not you. But it's Paul said it's Christ within you. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. These men that have brought this thing down to you and I. The apostles, they were a bunch of awful frail men until the day of Pentecost, were they not? Jesus even knew himself, you're not ready to go on this journey yet. You're not equipped to go on this journey. Why, I've been with you 3.5 years, and I've watched that old jealous spirit in you, and I've watched that old get-even spirit. And I've watched that old retaliation rise up in you. I've watched that old taking my part, cutting a man's ear off and all that kind of stuff. I've seen all of that. You're not ready to start on this journey yet. He said, you go up there and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Even Jesus realized that. And he realized that his apostles weren't ready for this journey yet. You go and you tarry at Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And then you can go. And those men went. And they went out with power from God. Power of anointing of the Spirit of God resting upon their soul. And they was able to carry this thing on and suffer the persecution, suffer the opposition, and endure the hardness, endure the thing. I want to tell you, this thing that we have tonight that's been passed down to us, it hasn't been easy, but it's been men who were dedicated and filled with the Holy Ghost and was able to endure things beyond the human. Beyond the human. Things that were beyond the normal man. The normal strength of a man. A man can only take so much. And he's going to fall by the wayside. But oh, we're on a journey tonight. And you're going to need some power. You're going to need the power of the Holy Ghost. In your life, if you're going to make it, you're going to have the Holy Ghost in your life tonight. And if you don't get it, you won't make it. Because you're going to run into some things. People ain't going to treat you right, as I said. And you're not going to be dealt fairly with. You're going to be overtaken. You're going to be mistreated. You're going to be cheated. You're going to be taken advantage of. And people are going to take advantage of you. And for you to be sweet to them and forgiving them, you're going to have something more than the normal person. More than normal person. The power of the Holy Ghost will enable you to make this journey successful. It'll enable you to forgive your enemies. Amen. It'll enable you to get along with your brother. Amen. It'll enable you to get along with your wife. Oh, yeah. Two sanctified people can solve any problem that comes up among them. I believe that with all my heart. Two sanctified people can get along. Somebody was talking a while back about so many divorces. You know, people nowadays buy more divorces than married. Somebody said, you're already. But you know, I told them. I said, I've been around now for many, many years. And I've never yet seen two saved and sanctified people get a divorce. Never have. That's a pretty good reputation, isn't it? Pretty good reputation. Never have seen two sanctified people get a divorce. And so tonight, you're going to need the power of the Holy Ghost to even get along with your wife. Amen. You're going to need it to get along with your husband too. And you're going to need it real bad in your home with your children. Hard for me to preach anymore without mentioning that somewhere along the line. But that's where the devil's working so hard today. But you're going to need this power of the Holy Spirit. On this journey, I'm talking about on the journey. Now we're going somewhere tonight. And we're meeting opposition. We're being challenged. Listen to me. We're being challenged today. Oh, yes, we are. We're sitting here in this nice building, and I thank God for it. But I tell you, there's opposing powers. There's opposing powers that are coming against you and I. Oh, I feel them all the time. They're challenged me all the time. I'm challenged every day. The very thing that God has done for me, the very thing that God has worked in our life is the thing we believe, the thing we give our life for, the thing that we've been passed down to, the thing that we've been taught all along is being challenged on every line. And in order for you and me to keep a clearer vision of the truth, we're going to have the Holy Ghost in our life. We're going to have the Holy Ghost in our life to be able to discern between which that is right and which that is wrong. We're going to have to have the power of the Holy Ghost to stand. Paul said one time, all men forsook me, but God stood by me. You and I, and you young folks, just well to get in this thing with your heart. Get in it with all your heart. Dedicate your life. Get it some power in your life. Get the scales off in your eyes. And get your heart into the thing. Take a stand for God. And when you do that, you're going to find yourself with power. You're going to find yourself with something
inside that's beyond the normal person. Kept by the power of God through faith, it says something like that. Going to find a keeping power. That when you can't keep yourself, and like I said, when times will come and you won't even feel like praying, and you can't even, I've been time, I've sat in church. I've been in places where I went down to the chapel, and that preacher gets to preaching, and he'd tear me all to pieces, you know. I can't stand to hear that guy talk. I've just got to get out of this place. Got to get out of this. And they'd come in and sing a song. I can't stand to listen to that. And run that old vacuum cleaner over the floor and run me up a wall. I'm going to need some power. I needed something beyond me. I didn't have the power to bear that. I couldn't stand it. But there was a power, an inner power, that preserved me right through the whole thing. And I came out with victory on the other side. God help us tonight. I don't say I was shouting all the way through it. I didn't say that. Sometimes you don't feel like shouting. Sometimes you can't shout. But God, there's a keeping power. There's an inner something. It's not like something. It's the inner workings of the Spirit of God that rules in the heart and provides the grace and the power
and the love. Yes, that's something else we're going to need on this journey, isn't it? The Bible said that the love of God is shed abroad. What is it? The love of God is shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost. Romans 5:5 is where that scripture. The love of God is shed abroad. What? By what? By the Holy Ghost. You're going to need more than just, how I love Jesus. That's good in this place. Nothing wrong with that song. I sing it all the time. But anyway, there's going to have some of that agape love. Is that what you call it? You're going to have some divine. You're going to have some charity. Charity. Divine love. Oh, I love you. I love you. I have a little habit. Well, I guess that's a pretty good habit. I tell folks I love them. Well, I do. I do. But I have to have more than just that. I've got to have a divine, something divine, something beyond human love, something that loves in spite of me, in spite of myself. Something that loves with nothing in return. Amen. You're going to have to love that person. Something that, I say you don't. You can't do it. You don't have that kind of love. I'm not talking about natural love. I love your wife. I love my wife. I love the saints. I love a lot of things. But I'm talking about something deeper than that now. I'm talking about a divine, inner love of shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost that enables me to do good to them that spitefully use me. Amen? Enables me to get up at Monarch in front of 1,000 people and say I was wrong. Amen. You know it's hard to say you're wrong sometimes. Yeah, and naturally speaking, it is. But the divine love. You're going to have to have this to finish this journey. That kind that when they cast your name out as evil,
What do? You leap for joy. Now, that's pretty hard to do. You can't do that in your own ability. They've got to be something in here leaps. There has to be something inside leaping. Lord, have mercy on that dear soul. They don't know what they're doing. Forgive them, Lord. Forgive them, Lord. You're going to have something beyond the normal when they slap you on the cheek to be able to turn the other. You got to have something supernatural. I was talking to my older sister about this one time, telling them what we had to do. And she said, well, I'm a Christian, and I know I'm ready to go to heaven. But she said, if somebody slaps me, I'm going to slap them back. Oh, yeah. I'm going to slap them back. Brother Charlie Williams told me, he's isolated over in Tennessee, known him for many years, real pioneer saint of God, he feels like maybe he's been in the truth longer than anybody in the world. He's been 88 years old and been saved all his life. This is just a little boy. Been in the truth all of his life. But anyway, he goes around, he's been around these here different churches, and they invite him to come and teach Bible class or Sunday school or something, and he'll take advantage of that sometimes. But he said, of all the different people I've met, all the little groups I've met, and I was surprised at this, he said, there's one thing about every one of them. If you cross them, they'll cross you back. If you take advantage of them, they'll retaliate. Now, that's strange that he would notice that out of all the things he might have seen. But that's that old carnal man that will rise up and defend himself. That's that old carnal man that feels sorry for himself. Amen? That's that old carnal man that gets that old pity pouting around. Amen? See, that's that old carnal man. And you're going to have something beyond that. You're going to meet things on this journey that you're going to have a supernatural, divine love working in your heart. I mentioned myself some here, but it's not me. Paul says, not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God. But you and I, we must have that love and power and vision. We've had something about it in this meeting, about that spirit that works down through everything. You and I, that comes through the Holy Ghost, have to have this inner force moving and working in our life. You can't put it off. Amen? You can't put it off. I forgive you, but I won't forget it. You know. I'm sorry, but you shouldn't have done it. You know. It's got to be something beyond the natural. I don't want to get too far out here, but I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. It's got to be an interworking, moving force in our very being that's moving in our lives and enabling us to face the things that we have to face. And the things that we meet in life. And the opposition. And the opposing powers. And the mistreatments. And the criticism. And the fault finding. And the picking. And the putting down. And just laying you out cold sometimes. And just giving you a peace of mind. It's got to be something. I keep saying something. It's got to be the power of the Spirit of God that's moving in our heart. Moving. I don't sit here and I say, well, should I forgive that person or should I not? No, it don't work that way. If I got this power of the Holy Spirit moving and working in my life, it automatically comes forth that all I want to do is get to that brother as soon as I can and get that thing straightened out. It's a moving force. The Holy Ghost moving. We had a message on that in a meeting already too, didn't we? About the Spirit of the Lord moving, or moving God. It has to be. That's what the Church of God is. That is the Church of God. It isn't a bunch of people that got together and formed something another. It is not a bunch of people that have created a little group somewhere another. It's not that. It's not made of man's wisdom. It's not run by man's wisdom. But it's something beyond the normal. It's the Holy Spirit moving in the hearts of men. In the hearts of men and women. That produces. Not going around saying, don't know where to do this or not. But it has to be. I hope you get my thought. It's got to be a force that moves in our life. And we are just prone to do the right thing. To do the right thing. And that's what makes the Church of God made up of sanctified people. Now if you're saved, justified, I hope you don't stay that way any longer than to the next few minutes anyway. But still, when you get saved, you're born into the church, I'm trying to say. But the Church of God, God is coming back after a church without spot.
Yes, that's right.
Or wrinkle or any such thing. God is coming back after a sanctified church, if you please. And God's church is a sanctified church. We don't just get saved and say, well, I believe I'm all right now. No! God's plan is a whole plan. It's not getting saved and sanctified. Well, it is in a sense. But it's two works, but one plan. One plan. God, when He made a plan for the redemption of the souls of man, He not only made a plan that we could be forgiven of our sin, but we could have the very problem of sin rooted out and cleansed out. So until you have been sanctified holy, you really don't have full salvation yet. You don't have what God intended you to have, I'll put it that way. And therefore, this is a sanctified church that moves. An inner moving among people. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it wonderful when God is having His way? And everybody's moving as the Spirit moves. Oh, that's beautiful to me. The Church of God is the most beautiful thing I've ever saw. Somebody said, well, those people just almost like them. I want to tell you tonight. They ain't no group or movement of people in this world that's even close to the real Church of God. They ain't even close to it. It's something that man, or they might dress like we do or something like that. But this thing of a sanctified people, a sanctified church, is so far beyond man's comprehension and man's ability to understand. He can't come up with nothing even close to it.
Right?
Because it's an inner working force. An inner working power working in God's people that moves in their lives. And out of the inner man goes the issues of life. And we see a people of a humble walk with God. We see a people that obeys the Word of God. We see a people that is humble and submissive and easily entreated and easily to forgive. Talking about sanctified people. People that are willing to sacrifice. People who are willing to deny themselves people that carry loads and burden for other people. It's something that goes out. It's something that goes out. It's not something we do in our own ability, our own hand. But this thing goes out to people that we come in contact with. Oh, pray the Lord help us tonight. Sanctified people, there's something about them. They've got a countenance that nobody else has. They've got something about them. There's a power in their lives. Stay with me now. There's a power in their life that rebukes sin. That rebukes sin. You let a sanctified man and woman walk in amongst a bunch of worldly people, they'll be so, you don't have to say a word, but there'll be a reproof there. There'll be a reproof there. I mean, if you'll excuse me for using myself, when my dad laid a corpse, you've heard this paper before, and he wanted to be brought home. We lived back in the hills, and that's the way we used to do it. Everybody came home, you know, brought the corpse home. And my dad didn't want to be left in one of those old cold funeral homes. And so he brought him home. And these people had a church service with him there that night before he went to church. And I was there, and I wasn't saying anything. And I just, you know, they have big get-togethers, them wakes. They stay up all night. They don't just go from 7 to 9. They stay up all night. And they drink coffee and they smoke cigarettes and they do a lot of visiting and talking. And it's just kind of a community. Oh, they don't do that much now, but I'm talking about used to it. But anyway, I got up and I walked back through the kitchen a little bit. And that was back in the days of miniskirts. When they were smoking, I just kind of casually walked back through there. I didn't say anything. And they started putting their cigarettes out. And these women started pulling their dresses down. The Lord help us tonight. I didn't say a word. And I wouldn't have said anything either. But God wants you and I have this inner being that goes out. Didn't he say when he, the Spirit of truth, would come, he would lead and guide you in all truth. And he would show you things to come, and he would reprove the world of sin. We need that inner working power in our very soul as we go along life's journey, going on our way to Mount Horeb, going up to heaven. I just got these thoughts today, and they're not new thoughts, but I just seen myself traveling this road with all these obstacles along the way. But the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, making a way, enabling to meet every one of them, enabling me to overcome as we go along, enabling to forgive, enabled to beg pardon, enabled to get along with one another. I've seen all those opposition. I see the powers of darkness encamping around about the camp of the saints. I see an old spirit of compromise would try to work its way in among the very people of God. You and I are going to need a clearer vision of the truth. We need a clearer vision of the truth. Because if you have scales on your eyes, you'll be pulled aside. And the things that once looked bad to you won't look so bad anymore. You see others do it, and you say, well, I guess it's all right. Oh, we need a clear vision. And you've got to have that second blessing to get them scales off in your eyes. The Bible said Paul, the scales fell off and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And the very one he'd been cruel, the very one he'd been persecuted, he rose up and said, "This is the Christ, the Son of God." And so tonight, we're traveling on a journey, and we're going to meet a lot of things. And some of you young, I'll mention it again, some of you young folks that are here tonight, or even your middle-aged folks, you may have a long ways to go yet. And you're going to need on the whole armor of God. Jesus said, "I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send you another comforter." And he said, "He'll abide with you forever." Do you know that I need comfort? I've got on my trip so far, there's been a lot of times that I needed a lot of comfort. And there's been a lot of times, what's in the little song said, "Other men may bless and comfort, speak a kind and cheering word, but only Jesus." What? The balm that heals the heartache is only Jesus can afford. There's going to be times on this journey that hard things are going to come. Death of loved ones. Marriage problems. Separation. Husbands leaving. Wives leaving. It happens. It happens. Oh, I know some sisters right now that are going through some. I tell you, it just almost provokes me sometimes. I just said what them fellows need that I can just recognize what they need. Looking at it, but I can do that. But I know some sisters right now that are going through some hard, hard things. And you ask them how they're doing? Oh, doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. Still got the victory. That's not normal. That isn't normal. There's a power there in their lives that enables them to live. I know some that are living in hell almost. Only allowed one light bulb on the house at a time. Everybody got to take a bath in the same water. Amen. Pretty good. That ain't normal. Ain't nobody going to live under those kind of conditions. But there's got to be something beyond the normal. And what I'm classing at tonight is being the power of the Holy Ghost. That second blessing. Rise up. Elijah rose up and went on his journey for all that time. Tonight, let me ask you a question. When Philip went down to Samaria and the priest had a big revival meeting down there, some folks got saved, devils were cast out, and there was great joy in the city. The apostles, the older fellows, they heard about it. And they went right down there. They didn't tarry very long. They went right down there. And the first thing they asked them, they said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" They knew. See, they had been through it. And it seemed to me like in that instant that these apostles felt urgency about this thing. Now you're saved. Now you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That was the morning church. The morning church operated that way. Just as soon as they had somebody saved or they found somebody saved, they had generally the question, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?" Let me ask you tonight, do you feel like you're equipped for the journey? Do you feel like that you've got it all, the whole armor of God on tonight? But let me ask you this. Have you ever been
baptized with the Holy Ghost. Baptized with the Holy Ghost. Brother Ed, I noticed today, Ron baptized his son. He put him all the way under. He put him all the way under. Baptized a big old fella years ago down in South Carolina. Brother Williams and I, he weighed about 300 pounds. And he said, I want you to put me all the way under. Well, we got him under, but Brother Williams, he was a little short fella, and he went under with him just about. We got him under. Now, the Bible says that he's going and he's trying to feel bad. What's that mean? That means submerged into the love of God and the power of God and the things of God. And so tonight, have you ever made that real? I know probably most of you has been to the altar here, and I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on somebody. But have you really ever been baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire? Has it been consumed? That's what kind of fire he's talking about. A consuming fire. Has that old carnal nature been consumed? Is there something still there that wants to retaliate? Is there still something there that's drawing towards the world? Is there something there that's making the world look good? I don't know about you, the more I look at it, the worse it looks. If there's still there, something in there that's reaching out for the old things of this old world, then you need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with that consuming fire that will consume that old carnal nature and will give you power to live a holy life right here in this world. Will give you power. It's not going to transform you into some creature beyond temptation or anything like that. But you're going to find the inner working power that will give you power to overcome this old human place that we still live. We still have a human, no matter who we are, we're still human. But you'll find a source of power to control and to say, no, no, I won't do that. I won't do that. Let us have a song. Let's stand. If you're here tonight, remember now we're going on a journey, and I don't know how long it's going to be, but if God tarries, I'll say it again, some of you may be on a long journey. So arise and eat that second meal. Come and have partake of that second meal tonight, and then you can rise with grace and love and power to enable you to walk with God right here in this present world. My good friends and my saints and brethren, you need this experience tonight. I'm going to say it again. I've seen a lot of people fall by the wayside. That's a bad report, but it's true. And I am convinced in my mind. Now, you can still be saved and still lose out with God and go to hell. But I heard Brother Austin Wilson say one time that he believed that if a man ever really, really got a real dose of being baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many of them, some of them would. But not very many of them do that. Lord, help us tonight. Have you received the Holy Ghost? since you've been saved? Have you been baptized? I noticed nobody didn't be baptized here today except Brother Ed's son, Clinton. Evidently, you must have already been baptized by water. If you haven't, you ought to be. Have you been baptized with the Holy Ghost? Let us sing. If you want to come tonight and make that. And remember, it is a gift that God wants to give you. It's a gift of God. And He wants to give it to you tonight to enable you to make a success on this journey that we're going on tonight.